Praise the Lord. Amen. Isn't it lovely to worship our Lord? Oh, thank you, Lord. God is so good. Friends, I don't know if you heard about those girls who were in the Christian college. They were all in the dormitory and they were having a time of prayer. And they were praying and saying, Lord, give us pure hearts. Lord, give us clean hearts. Lord, give us sweet hearts. And all the girls said, oh, amen. Praise the Lord. You know, in the world of advertising, especially on TV, the script writers have understood the power of the word, two words, which were call now. Call now. Not available in stores, only by phone. Limited offer. Call now. All these action verbs and phrases create a false sense of urgency in the mind of gullible customers and forces them to act quickly. And many times, people have fallen prey to this and have since regretted making those purchases. But there's another kind of call, which requires a quick and consistent action on your part. I promise you that you will not regret it when you make this call. Because down through the centuries, many have made that call and were blessed, while others have neglected it to their own disadvantage. I'm talking about calling on the name of the Lord. Amen? Jim Cimbala says in his book, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, Spirit. He says, in fact, God's first people were not called Jews or Israelites or Hebrews. In the very beginning, their original name was those who call on the name of the Lord. And since that time, there has always been a group of people, Jim Cimbala says, who have expressed their dependency on God by calling on the name of the Lord. And God is still looking for people who will call on him. I was reading about Jeremiah the prophet. He was the mouthpiece for God, and his responsibility was to warn the people of Israel, warn the rebellious people of Israel about their actions with regard to flirting with idols and stuff. And because of that, the people ill-treated him. They actually hated him. He was thrown into a well. He was put in chains. He was made a laughingstock. Do you know that Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet because of his many tears? However, he remained faithful to God. He remained obedient to God. Now, while most of us have not experienced anything like Jeremiah, some of us can relate to feeling isolated, trapped, imprisoned by the past, or chained by a present habit. So when Jeremiah wrote what is our text today, he was in prison, and Jerusalem had been destroyed and conquered, and the children of Israel were taken into exile to Babylon. They had longed hoped for the restoration of Jerusalem and their return to their land. But there was nothing, friends, that Jeremiah or anybody else could do to restore Jerusalem. It was beyond their power. And during this time, God tells him, hey, ask me. And I will tell you and show you things that you can't even begin to dream about. Let's look at our text for this morning. Jeremiah 33, verse 3, God says, call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. So the first thing we do, friends, God says, call to me. That's a prompting. Prompting. God, the author and creator of everything, desires that we talk with him. He has placed this desire within our hearts, a longing to connect with him. A few weeks ago, we spoke about going into the river of God, from ankle deep to knee deep to waist deep, and until the river is totally over you. And that talks about God's calling you to a committed life. And then last week we spoke about in that place where the river of God is totally over you and you are immersed and submerged in the power of God. This is a place of intimacy where we are called to gaze upon his beauty, where we are called to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And during this place, friends, God desires that we have communication, that we talk to him, that we listen to him talk to us. God invites us during this place, in this place of intimacy with him, to call him by different names. I was listening as the people were shouting out things and saying, guys, are spot on, man. And each title of the Lord reflects a different attribute and helps us understand a bit more about his majestic power. I encourage you as you are praying, friends, to incorporate these names into your prayer. Listen, right from the outset, we are not called to, we are not instructed to call upon Buddha or Hare Krishna or Baal or Muhammad or Confucius or anybody else. God instructs us. He says, call to me. Call to me. Listen, we don't play this new age game where everything is okay. God says, call to me. He is him, God himself. He is Elohim, the one to whom all power belongs. He is El Shaddai, the almighty God. He is El Elyon, the most high God above whom there is no other. He's El Olam, the everlasting God who is without beginning or end. He's El Roy, the God who sees us. We are called to him, who is Jehovah, the self-sustaining, all-sufficient one. We call Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, the guardian and helper of all those who fear him. We call Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. We call Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer, who gives us health and deliverance from disease. We call upon Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner, the one who gives me victory over my enemies. We are called upon Jehovah Mkadishkim, the Lord that sanctifies us and separates us for himself. We are to call upon Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. We are to call upon Jehovah Rohi, the Lord my shepherd, the one who through the sacrifice, who protects me and provides for me and who is present with me. We are to call upon Jehovah Tishkenu, the Lord our righteous shepherd, the one who protects us, the one who through the sacrifice of Jesus gives us right standing with himself. We are called upon to call to Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is there, the one who is with me day and night. Amen. Come on now. Let's dance on the ceiling. Praise God, man. Well, I don't know. Now you know. We are to call upon Abba, my Father. We are to call upon Emmanuel, God with us. We are to call upon the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We are to call upon the way, the truth, and the life. We are to call upon the resurrection and the life, the Word, the great high priest, the head of the body, the good shepherd, the only begotten Son of the Father, the faithful witness. We are to call upon the living bread come down from heaven, the fountain of living waters, the bridegroom, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Yes. We are to call upon the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the bright and morning star. We are to call upon the Lord of glory. We are to call upon Jesus. Amen, friends. Come on now. Well, I don't know. Now you know. And that's just African blood flowing there. Praise the Lord. Friends, we all have needs. Amen. For which we need to pray. It might be a financial mess or a relational breakdown or some family friction or a scary health situation or a loss of a loved one or an inner struggle that no one else knows about. God says, call on me. He prompts you. Call on me. Try me out. It's his nature to keep promises. The Lord is faithful to all his promises. Amen. Praise the Lord. Do you know that I was reading in the week that we should call upon the Lord because he loves us, cares about us, hears us, and responds to our need when we call on his name. The literal translation of the Hebrew word quara, Q-A-R-A, means to cry out, to call out loud, to roar, to implore aid. It is used to describe the cry of a raven, a young raven as it waits for food. It is used for a child crying out for help in times of danger. It is used when referred to prayer, and it carries up with it the urgent cry for help. Charles Haddon Spurgeon once remarked that the best style of prayer is that which cannot be called anything else but a cry. John Bunyan wrote, when thou prayest, rather let thy heart be without words than your words without heart. Nothing else touches, friends, the heart of God and moves the hand of God more than a loud cry that comes from the heart of his children. Many refer to Jeremiah 33, verse 3, as God's phone number, because we are invited to call him. Several years ago, in the movie that came out, Bruce Almighty, apparently, the writers of the script gave God a random number, phone number, so that the lead character, Jim Carrey, can call up the Almighty. And many people who saw that movie wrote the number down quickly and went home to dial it. Well, it happened to be a lady from St. Petersburg, Florida, who had that actual number. And do you know she received over 20 calls an hour from people who wanted to talk to God? There are many verses, friends, in the Bible that exhort us to call upon God. Let's look at a few of them. Psalm 50, verse 15. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you. Psalm 86, verse 3. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I call to you all day long. Psalm 145, verse 18. The Lord is near to those who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. Jeremiah 29, 12 to 13. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Psalm 10, verse 17. You hear, O Lord, the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them, and you listen to their cry. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Psalm 91, verse 15. God himself says, he will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Do you see all these verses, friends? We are told to cry out to the Lord, to pray earnestly. God invites Jeremiah and you and I, friends, to call upon him. Is that complicated? In any situation, in any place, in any language, just call. I told you a long time ago when we were studying to be teachers, school teachers in South Africa, we were all in the dormitory. And my friend who was a Christian, him and I used to pray a lot. And one day he kneeled on his bed with his head in his pillow and he was praying. And we had a lady, an old lady, who was our matron. And Matron Buckley used to come to him and shout, get up, kneel on the floor, because what you're doing is not praying. Well, of course, she was wrong. You can pray while riding your bike. You can pray while you're driving. You can pray anywhere, because it has nothing to do with posture. Listen, friends, you can use any language. Just call. It has nothing to do with being eloquent or profound. There is no requirement of wording. Simply call on him. Sadly, for some friends, for some, they resist reaching out to God. They resist reaching out to him, even when they're going through a tough time. Reminds me of Jonah. Remember I preached those four sermons from the book of Jonah? You're going to read that again or listen to it again. You know, Jonah was disobedient to God, and now he finds himself on board a ship that is in a terrible, terrible storm. And you know what Brother Jonah does? Instead of crying out to God for help, he goes below deck and he has a good sleep. The scripture says the captain goes to him and says in Jonah 1 verse 6, how can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Isn't that something, friends? James reminds us, you do not have because you do not ask. Jesus said in Matthew 7 verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. South African theologian and pastor Andrew Murray says, God's giving is inseparably connected with our asking. You see that? God's giving is connected with our asking. I learned this week that there are more commands in scripture to pray than anything else. I want to encourage you, friends. Call when you're happy and rejoice in his blessing. Call when you're sad and find his comfort. Call when you are guilty and experience his forgiveness. Call when you're depressed and hear his word of encouragement. Call when the world is upside down and watch him make a way where there seems to be no way. Call when your burden is heavy and the Holy Spirit will come and empower you. Call when your strength is too little and your faith is too weak. Then you will mount up with wings like eagles. You will run and not be weary. You will walk and not faint. But you've got to call. Amen. Friends, our part is to ask, to call. God's part is to answer. Now we come to the second phrase in verse 3. Call to me, which is the prompting, and I will answer you. And that's the promise. That's the promise. God loves to answer prayer. In fact, he promises to do so. Why? Somebody said he's the covenant-keeping God. Somebody, we all say he's the promise keeper. He always does what he said he would do. If you say, hey, but hey, hang on, Keith, then I'm not getting answers to my prayer. Perhaps you need to check your prayer life. Isn't it true? Sometimes we just throw out a popcorn prayer. Bang! God is never preoccupied or busy. When we call out to him, he promises to answer. Psalm 4, verse 3. The Lord will hear when I call to him. Let's look at some examples in the scripture. We learned a few months ago about Hannah. She was barren. She was being mocked and teased. And she cried out to God in prayer. And God gave her a son, Samuel. What about Elijah? When he prayed, he hadn't prayed for 3.5 years. He goes up and he prays, and we find torrential rain. Pray consumed the sacrifice that had been drenched in water. In 1 Kings 18, verse 37 and 38, Elijah prays, answer me, O Lord, answer me. So these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. Then, listen, there comes the answer. The fire of the Lord fell and burnt up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. God answers prayer. Elisha prayed, and a child who had died was given her life back. Samson prayed, and God gave him his strength back. Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God in the prison, and the prison was shaken. And you know what? The jailer got saved. Aren't you happy? I don't know. The jailer got saved. Come on now. Remember when the Lord saved you, how lovely it was? Remember that moment? The missionary was asked, how do you know you were saved? The missionary said, I was there when it happened. You know you were saved. And what a day of rejoicing that was. Isn't that wonderful? You were called a child of God. Your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You were given the gift of salvation. But anyway, Jesus prayed a brief prayer. Then with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, he fed 5,000. Jesus said a brief prayer, and Lazarus came back from the dead. Friends, for God to answer, we must ask. We must pray. Take up your sacred privilege and call upon God. Ask him for protection. Somebody said protection. Ask him for help and for deliverance in time of need. He stands ready and able to answer, but we must ask for assistance. We must pray. Think how God is hindered and disappointed when his children seldom pray. And if they do, they only seek to receive selfish desires. The weakness of the church, the lack of the Holy Spirit power, is because the children of God are not praying. how different the state of the church and the world will be if God's people were to call out to him continuously. God says, call to me, the prompting, and I will answer the promise. And now comes the provision, and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Isn't that lovely? I like the New International Version, that phrase, the underlined phrase says, and I will tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. The Message paraphrase of the Bible says, I will tell you marvelous and wondrous things. The New Living Translation says, I will tell you remarkable secrets you do not know. The word show is a translation of the Hebrew word nagad, which means to make conspicuous. God says, call upon me and I will show, I will answer you and make things conspicuous. Something that had previously was unknown, he's made known. When you call on him, then you believe he's promised to answer. You can expect the unexpected. God's provision is greater than our problems and our petitions. Two verses come to mind, one from the Old Testament, one from the New. Isaiah 48, verse 6. From now on, I will tell you of good news, of hidden things unknown to you. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his promise that is at work within us. I never thought I would say this, but right now I'm wishing for minus 10. You say, don't say that, Keith. I am. You see, God's provision for Jeremiah and for the people of God in Jeremiah, I love this passage. My last verse for today, 29:10-14. This is what the Lord says. He's saying to these people who are in exile in Babylon. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you. See that, friends? And not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon men and come. Then you will call upon men and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Sorry. Oh, sorry. I got a spelling error in my title. Sorry. Okay. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. Isn't that wonderful, friends? God has wonderful things in store for you and I, for the future. He knows the future. God shared with Jeremiah what he was going to do. God wants to reveal great and unsearchable things to us. The, the idea is that the greatest things of God are not learned from a book. The greatest things of God are not attained or conquered by human strength or wisdom, but they are received how? By seeking the Lord through believing prayer. Amen. Those who expect to receive blessings from God, let me say, must call upon him. Promises are given to invigorate and encourage prayer. I want to conclude by telling you the story, and you know it. About 5 or 6 years ago, I told you this one, and then you've read it and heard it also. God called you to accept this invitation and involve yourself in prayer. One day, George Mueller, you heard that name before? He looked down the streets of Bristol, England, and saw hundreds of homeless children. He was so moved with concern for them that he decided to do something for them. And with only 2 pence in his pocket, that's 2 cents, friends, he decided to start an orphanage. In 60 years, beginning with 2 cents in his pocket, George Mueller took care of 10,000 orphans. He looked out and saw homeless kids. He could have said, well, I don't have money. There's no way to care for them, to meet the needs, to buy food. Instead, he looked at them and said, I will reach out and help them. And God blessed his efforts in a mighty way. Listen, during those 60 years of ministry, George Mueller never once solicited funds from anybody. He never wrote letters asking for donations. Instead, he committed himself to pray. Listen, friends, instead of being like, oh, please, we're battling, we got no money. No, no. He prayed. He prayed. He committed himself to prayer. And he asked God for whatever he needed to run the orphanage. During his 60 years of ministry, George Mueller kept a record of his prayers. Kept a record of his prayers. And that record filled more than 3,000 pages. All the prayers he made. The notes also showed that more than 30,000 prayers were answered. Isn't that something, friends? One night, for example, there was no food in the orphanage to give the children for breakfast. But 3 o'clock in the morning, a baker called him up and said, I can't sleep, so I'm going down to the bakery to bake some bread. Would it be all right for me to bring some over in the morning? On another occasion, a milk truck just happened to break down in front of the orphanage. On the day they had no milk, the truck driver came in and said, all this milk is going to spoil. Would you like some of it? And their needs were met. Time and time again, 30,000 times in 60 years, God answered George Mueller's prayer. Isn't that wonderful, friends? Friends, the secret to answered prayer is to pray. And the secret to unanswered prayer is to remain silent. 18th century Baptist pastor A.J. Gordon said, there is more you can do after you pray, but there is nothing you can do until you pray. When we work, he said, we get what we can do. When we pray, we get what God can do. I want us individually, friends, and collectively to be a kind of praying people, a kind of praying church that is more surprised when God doesn't answer prayer than we are when he does. prayer is absolutely essential to the Christian victorious life. Someone wrote, "The great people of the earth today are the people who pray. I do not mean those who talk about prayer, nor those who believe in prayer, nor those who can explain about prayer, but I mean those people who take time to pray." And we could stand up here and teach our lesson on prayer. But what's more important? Pray. What great and impossible things, friends, are you willing to call upon the Lord for? We can pray for changed lives, the salvation of the lost, our family and our loved ones. We can pray for revival to be ignited in the church and in our community. We can pray that the whole atmosphere of the town of Smoky Lake to become one of God's, of God consciousness and faith. We can pray for our faith to be strengthened, for problems to be overcome, for the sick to be healed and enjoy health in gratitude before God. We can pray for directions and wise decisions. We can call for the empowerment and the infilling of the Holy Spirit in our lives on a daily basis. We can't guess what God may want to do. Friends, some of us need to take God at his word. Call upon him. Who knows? But that he will immediately answer us and give us access to what has been inaccessible and make known to us what has until now been unknown. I want to close with a song, the words of a song by Scott Wesley Brown. It's called "He Will Carry You." There is no problem too big God cannot solve it. There is no mountain too tall, he cannot move it. There is no storm too dark, God cannot calm it. There is no sorrow too deep, he cannot soothe it. If he carried the weight of the world upon his shoulders, I know, my brother and sister, that he will carry you. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, you're not a man that you should lie, neither are you the Son of Man that you should repent. And what you said, you will do. What you have spoken, you make it good. Lord, help us all to cry out to you, in our relationship with you. There's nothing worse than a one-sided relationship where you talk to us every Sunday through your word, but we never say a word back to you. We want to communicate with you, Lord. We want to cry out to you, to show dependency on you. And so I pray, Father, that as we start this month of August, as we remember our 78th church anniversary today, Lord, that we may be a praying church, that we will trust you, Lord. You did promise us. You said, "Call unto me, I will answer you and show you great and mighty things you do not know." And so we do so, Lord, today. In Jesus' name, amen.